Okay, on page Ayin Aleph, Fakash Tizboinen. Fakash Tizboinen on page Ayin Aleph, B'mitzias Aylam Hazeh. The question of why is it, we're learning that the Maral was telling us that it can't be B'mikra, it can't be by coincidence, that the Tayag Mitzvahs correspond, the Shasa, the 365 correspond to the Yemais HaChama, to the days of the on the solar calendar. And the Ramach, and the 248, correspond to the Evorim, to the limbs of a person. And he's speaking about the difference between the Lois essays and the essays, that the Lois essays, the negative commandments, are there to prevent there being a hefsid to Mitzias, to reality, that they are there to preserve the Seder Ha'olam. And he's discussing the second chalik of Mitzvah Saseh is to be able to enable a Jewish person to be kind of shlemus in this world. And if you think about it, if you look into the Mitzvah of this world, Nachlak L'Shnei Chalokim, it's divided into two parts. Kedulim Kol HaMitzvah HaEchad Hu HaMitzvah HaTachdoin. One dimension of reality is the lower dimension. He's going to explain why is it that the negative commandments correspond, the Shasa, Chazal tell us, correspond to the 365 days of the solar calendar. He says, this world, we know that this is the world that is referred to as Tachas HaShemesh. Shlomo HaMelech referred to this world as the world that's under the sun. V'HaShemesh Kodol Oisai. This world derives its sustenance, its physical sustenance. Hashem made it in such a way where it derives its physical sustenance from the sun. Ki Hashemesh Melech Olam HaTeva. The Shemesh is the Melech, is the king of Olam HaTeva. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way, and that's why it became such an object of Avodah Zarah, which we'll talk about more. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself designated this as being the primary koyach that's responsible for directing the affairs of this physical world. Ki Hashem is Melech Olam HaTeva. V'Olam HaTeva Masuda Tachtav. And the Olam HaTeva, is Masuda Tachtav. It's all ordered. It's all in the Seder that's depending upon the sun. Let's learn together footnote 26. He says in Netzach Yisrael that the sun is the king and the ruler of this world. The Gemara tells us that at that hour, at that time of the day, when the kings would put on their crowns and they would bow down to the sun, miyad koeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Hashem, that would arouse Hashem's anger. Because of Alkach beBeragoyl, the Maral writes in the Beragoyl beErevi, Ki Hashem is Nikra Melech Mitzvah Shemayim, Vhu Yisbarach Moishel Alkol. Of course, Hashem rules over everything, but Hashem designated this as the ruler, so to speak, of this world. Mikom Mekom Yesh L'Shem Shem Memshal. We see that in the sun, in many Pesukim in Tanakh, that the sun does have this position of authority. Of course, it's not independent. That's Avodah Zarah. It's depending upon Hashem. V'Kasher B'nei Odom Einam Ovrim. As Olam HaTeva Lavod is Hashem Kama Sheroi Lasos. Now, when we have a situation when people become stuck in this physical world and they forget and they're not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu as they should, in other words, that means that they cannot rise above the Olam HaTeva, which is what we were talking about last week. The holy need of the mitzvah is to bring a person above physical reality. So when a person is stuck in physical reality in the Olam HaTeva, that means that he is a devout sun worshipper. Because it means that he is connected to the Memshola of this world. The sun is designated as the primary koach over this world. That's what he explains. Rakim Nisham B'Olam HaTeva. Vein Mekarshan Olam HaZeh Bayisbarach. And you have a person who does not connect this world to the true ruler of all worlds, Hashem. That is idolatry. Because, after all, the sun does have a shame. It does have chshivas. It does have, It does have sovereignty. It's just not independent, God forbid. But it does have sovereignty in this world. It's chashuv. The sun is chashuv. There's nothing as chashuv as the sun and its effects in this world. That's what it means. In other words, the Maharal is explaining Kedarko, the depth of this Maimah Chazal, that the kings put on their crowns and they bow down to the sun and then Hashem gets angry. So what is that? Like orchestrated, some sort of an orchestrated thing that all the kings of the world that they bow down to the sun at the same time. What does it mean? It's not a Broadway musical. I remember when my mother first took me to one of those things. I wondered how they all think of that song like that. You know, the same time, like everybody. How did that happen? Like all of a sudden they belt out a song, right? What do you mean? All of a sudden, all the malachim of the world, they put on the crowns and they mishtachiv malachama. They bow down to the sun. The pshat is bowing. The kings of this world are those individuals who believe that the kingship is theirs. In other words, their kingdom is a kingdom of Abbas of Adam. Their sovereignty is limited to this world. Therefore, their very lives are lives of sun worship. Because sun worship means the belief in Kaychiv Aitzim Yadi, that this world is all that counts. And those egotistical kings who refuse to acknowledge that there's a true king, that there's one king over all, therefore, by definition, they're sun worshippers. That's who they are. Not that doesn't mean necessarily that they go out every day at lunchtime and they bow down. Their whole mitzvah is avodas hashemesh. That's the whole mitzvah is avodas hachama. Ve'im neshar mitzvah hachama ki'ilu hanhagas ha'olam. In their eyes, the sun is responsible for hanhagas ha'olam because there is no connection to the Ribono Shel Olam. Saying it doesn't mean that they necessarily have to be people that bow down to the actual sun. If you're not an Oyvid Hashem, it's scary. If you're not someone who's Oyvid Hashem, that you're not connected to that higher Koach of Hashem, Mimela, the only alternative is that you're a sun worshiper. That's the only alternative. Because if you don't worship, if you don't serve Hashem, if you're not batal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that you are serving the kaychas of this world. And this world is a world that is under the memshala, the apparent sovereignty of the sun. That's the meaning of this Gemara. When they put on their crowns, they bow down to the sun. The meaning of that is that the people in the kingdom they are subjects of the king. And the king puts the crown on his head. What does that mean? The symbolic act of putting the crown on his head. Again, the Gemara doesn't mean that they all put the crowns on the same time. Putting the crown on one head is that I am the melech. Ani emloch. Like Paro. Ani emloch. I am king. I alone. That's what it means. They put their crowns on their heads. Because that means that king that's meshuba to this world, and he's forgotten the Ribono Shel Olam, he is a subject of the sun. He is meshuba to the sun, which is the memshala, which controls this physical world. If the king and his ministers and the servants do not accept the malchus of Hashem, they're under the cham. Mimela, they're subjects of the sun. So that's very good. I don't have time to go into the Pachid Yitzchak, but that's the meaning of the Olam HaTeva is Mesuder Tachas the Shemesh. The Olam HaTeva, and therefore, if you're somebody that only believes in the Olam HaTeva, by definition, you are somebody who is worshipping the sun. That Avodah Zarah that's called the sun. That's why I once mentioned that the Balatanya in Torah Or, Balatanya writes in a few places in Lukut Torah also, that in modern times Avodas Hashemesh Beikar is money. Beikar is money. That was when a person, not that you can't make a panasa, but obsession with money and material things is called sun worship. Why? Because a person who's meshubed to this world, A person who can't take the time to learn, to daven, and his whole life is only caught up in the yonim of this world, not to survive, but to have more and more and more. So in modern times, the Tanya says, this is the manifestation of sun worship, the most powerful, the most profound manifestation of sun worship in our times, he says, is the meaning of money, of mammonis, to be obsessed with mammonis. Because the person believes that money is the moishal akol, that if I have money, then I have success and so on. That's the memshala. So in our times, that's the avodah zarah. When we look in the chumash, we say, what kind of crazy thing are people worshipping the sun? Well, mishiga. What are they? There's nothing better to do. So people look like, what, are they crazy? So as mishiga as people are now, going to work and make themselves crazy and spending all day long looking at the stock prices all the whole lives, they can't stop. That's how it was with avodah Hashem. It's the same yisod. It means teva.
The explanation of the Hashemesh Melech HaMoshel, the Rebbe said before, meaning that it's just by title, but it's not by fact. In other words, the sun can't change anything below. So that's the mistake.
That's what the Rambam discusses in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. That's the mistake. That's how Avodah Zarah evolved. In the beginning they understood that he doesn't have his own memshala. That what? That he's an evet. He's one of the Sari HaMalchus. He works for the Rebbe Shlom. And in the beginning, people always saw the sun as an employee. But the Rambam describes that what happened, you know, the Dor Enosh. Eventually, it came to a point where, since the sun since mankind depends so completely upon the sun, so what happened eventually is that as people were as their faith in the master of the world was wavering, so at the same time, parallel to that, their belief in teva, in nature, was increasing, and eventually it came to a point where they were primarily. They were worshipping the sun. From there it branched off into the Kechavan and the Mazalus, because the Zodiac and the Mazalus is also, and so on. But the sun is the...
So their Havana and the sun itself is mistaken.
For sure.
In the power of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Ukamosha Timsa, top one, Ayin Beis. Ukamosha Timsa, Mavur, Menachos of Shekasha, Yitzel, Haske, Kol Oilam, Yoyim, Atachas, Hashem. We see that when Shlomo Melech wants to describe all of this world, all physical life, he calls it Tachas Hashemesh, under the sun. which is really hinting to what the Tanya was saying. My Yisno is what was Shlomo Melech crying over there? What was Shlomo Melech crying about? What's the Tachlis of a person whose whole life running and going with sugar to make more and more, to gather more and more things, right, and make more money? Tachas Hashemesh. That's the Pshat. Tachas. The Teretz is he lives Tachas Hashemesh. But for a Jew who lives lamalam in Hashemesh, if he lives lamalam in Hashemesh, so then he doesn't spend his life in such a way. B'chol amol shi'amol, his amelus is b'tar, like we learned before. His amelus is in davening and learning and mitzvahs and masam tovim, which doesn't mean he doesn't go to work. It just means that that's not his amelus. His amelus is in Yiddishkeit. His amelus is in Torah. And he goes to work because he has to go to work. And you have to... Barisi kol ha-shanasa tachas ha-shemesh. Throughout the entire Sefer Kehelis. V'chein tomid. V'ha-shemesh hishmiras seder olam ha-teva b'mahalocha u'b'tenuasa. The shemesh is responsible for safeguarding, for maintaining that mahalach of this physical world. That mahalach of this world. That's why I remember as a kid reading in the science books that, you know, if the sun would be this much closer, I don't know how much closer, like a little bit closer, right? So then they wouldn't be possible. The world would be burned, and if it would be a little bit further away, it wouldn't be shayach. So all of the mahalach of everything in this world is mesuder tachas hashemesh. All of existence. Bameshihi myshelas ba'ilam hateva. Ukamoi hamelech, and that's why it has this quality of malchus. Ukamoi hamelech, shu ha'shomer es ha'seder, the job, the responsibility of the king, is to see to it that the Seder of that kingdom is maintained, that there be law and order. That nobody should go out of his particular Seder, of the Seder Haroi. This is a very, very big Indian. Look at footnote 29. Clearly, what he's getting at here and what he's going to explain is the relationship between what? All the negative commandments, the Lavim, the Leisaseis, and the Shemesh, which Chazal make this connection in many places, the 365 negative commandments and the 365 days of the solar calendar. What do the Lavin have to do with what? With the sun? No, the Teretz is that the purpose of the Lavin for a Jew is to maintain the Seder of life. It creates a malchus in that person's life to see to it that he doesn't go away into gzeila, into gilai rais, into this and that, which is all, as we learned last week, is a perversion and undermining of this world. The purpose of the lois essays primarily is to safeguard man, to keep him in that mahalach, in that seder. So therefore it corresponds to the shemesh, since the shemesh is a marshal over the olam hateva, and only a Jew who is completely committed to the lois essays, to observing those lois essays, only that Jew is in the mahalach. He's in that mahalach. He's on the path. So footnote 29. Moral writes, Yisoid nofus b'sifrei moral. Ula dugma. It says in the Chiddush HaGadol in Chul, in Kosov, Ki Hashem is baruch bara haminim, v'noagim inyoneihem achar hamuskel haroi. The Baruch Shalom created all the different species of this world, and each one is controlled, each according to that koach that it needs in order to exist and to function properly. This does not mean, as when you read the Rishonim, particularly when you read the Rambam, and here there was tremendous influence from Neoplatonism, and later on from the writings of Aristotle, and that entire school of thought. That it appears in the writings of the Rambam and other Rishonim, as even when he calls planets and he calls constellations, the Rambam refers to them as secholim, as sichliim, as having some intellect, as being some level of intellect that transcends the human being. And the morale is explaining here that it must be clear that the Rebbeinu Shlom created everything in this world with a certain seder. Not that they understand v'yesh behem das. That doesn't mean that they have das. Like you could ask Jupiter, you know, a svarin toisvis. Doesn't have das. Rakiat teva shuhutba behem nimshuch achar hamuskel. That's the meaning. These higher intelligences, right? All of these things in the Metzius, whether it be these galaxies and stars and so on, constellations, or it be anything of this world, it of itself doesn't have seichel, but its seder, its order, is all nimshach achar hamuskel. Since they don't have bechira, they don't have free choice, therefore they clearly reflect the wisdom of the one who created them. Masha ein ken a human being. Mashiach can a human being. You take a walk down the street, you see Nebuchadnezzar, and you say, what kind of reflection is this upon the one who made him? So all of reality is nimshach achra hamuskel. That's what it means. Kamesh Omuzal, Lamadnu Gezel Minamala, right? So the famous Gemara that says that if the Torah wouldn't have been given in Har Sinai, would you be able to learn the issur of stealing from ants, how careful they are not to take someone else's pekel, right? The ants, that they're very careful about that. And sneez michatul, and from a cat to learn sneez, and derech eretz from a tanagol, from a rooster, a chicken, a rooster. Vareki an namoli yedua ba davizeh she'ena gazelles klal. The moral explains that ants do not steal. Vein davizeh mehem mitzad achochma yeshamayim. It doesn't mean that the ant has any seichle yeshamayim. It's the very nature that's been engraved in the ant. Is nimshochem achamidas eyes. That's its midah. Hi hachakas agazel, not to steal. The kacha chosel, and so to the chatul, the cat, achatz nias, or tanagalacha derech eretz. But dovah zeh gam ken, ki ha-melech misadur ha-min shelo yetzu min ha-seder ha-ro. That is the job of the king. Hashem is the king of all kings, and he arranged everything in its seder. Because the same thing with a human king. The subjects of the kingdom, they don't understand the bigger picture. They need someone. Okay, and this was an extremely controversial debate that was going on throughout. Really, began by the ancients, but particularly in the Middle Ages. Would man be better being left alone as a wild brute, you know, a wild beast in the field, to see to it, to care for himself, or is it necessary to have some monarch or some form of authority that would set some seder and standard to his? Establish a standard to human behavior. And this was machlokes, you know, all the different shitas with Rousseau and with Locke and Hobbes and all of them. This is big machlokes throughout the Middle Ages. And the keeping in mind that to a large extent until the Enlightenment we were dealing with people who were profoundly religious. Not Jewish, but they were religious people. And their natural view of the universe was one where you must have a melech. There must be seder that's established by some superior sovereign being, which led to the divine rights of the king, which eventually caused a lot of tzaros, and there was corruption v'chulu v'chulu. But the idea of a melech setting seder, of a king establishing seder, so this is the job of a king in this world. The subjects need him, so that they should remain within that seder. Lefi shahamin hu roi el haseder. U'kamoy sheyesh lo'odam melech shehu mesader in yaneim b'muchash. That's what the king does. He's mesader there in yonim. Kach yesh lo'kol minu min malchus. So it is with all species, every species in this world. Ve'en ha'peirish sheyesh lo'ham melech mamish morlech elayim. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, it doesn't mean that the lion is the king of the jungle. That doesn't mean that they actually have a melech. Raksha teva shebehem nimshachach malchus. It means that the nature of every animal, of every flower, of everything in this world, its nature is that it's nimshach acha malchus. What does it mean after the kingdom? It means after Hashem is Baruch's kingdom. It's nimshach after its teva, after its own nature, its own essence. We're the only ones that are not like that. Human beings, that's why, as we discussed, and we'll talk more about this, that's why the Navi Yeshayahu was crying, Yod Asher Kaneyu, that an ox knows its master, right? Yisrael lo yoda, the Jewish people don't know. Amila is binding, my people are not thinking. Because a person has the ability not to be nimshach achar his teva. It was the teva of a Jew. The teva of a Jew is to be a tzaddik. That's the teva of a Jew. Right? And that's his teva. But a Jew can force himself away from the Baruch Shalom. He could choose to go away from his teva. Shekemoy shamelach misad b'nei adam kach hamin b'teva nimshach hachazev v'zeu hamelach sheyesh lahem v'nimse sheyesh lahem melach mitzad ha-teva shumanigah sam kemoy shiroi the leader and the chedush halach is kosov inyin hamelach kishu humoylech al ha'am u'misnase elayim b'chashivas malchuso misadir es ha'am b'seid ha-roi. That is the job of the king, to be Masader in the Seder HaRoi. And he discussed this a lot in his Pirushim on Megillas Esther, as he brings in a second. Rei Netzach Yisrael, Her 19. Be'or Chodesh, he brings there on the Megillas Esther. Koshet. Shahoy lo lichtov ve'hi b'yimei ha-melech ha-chashverish. Ve'lezorch ha-so b'shay melech. The Maral asks right away at the beginning of Megillas Esther, why does it say ve'hi b'yimei ha-chashverish? It should have said ve'hi b'yimei ha-melech ha-chashverish. And the entire Sefer is ha-melech. So you would think that the Sefer would begin Vayhi b'yimei ha-melech ha-chashverish, Vayhi b'yimei ha-chashverish. Ki ha-maisi atzma sh'olav bo ha-megillah, ma sh'ir li Yisrael ha-yadovar shinui. So the Maral says a very deep thing over there in Or Chodesh. He says this maisi that the Megillah is coming to tell. Megillah's Esther is coming to tell a story. It's coming to tell, to record a historical event. And what took place there was itself very bizarre, the Maral says. Shein roi lemelech sheyitein uma shleim lahashmid lahari. It's very odd. You hear what he says? It's not roi. It's not seichel. It's not normal. It's not the seder of the world that a king should. In a whim. I mean, that's what Maral talks about it much more in Or Chodesh. The whole thing, what happened with Vashti and with Haman, and then and Haman says, And Haman says, Yeshna Amechon, Mephuzim, Mephor, and that's it. To kill, to destroy an entire nation. To destroy an entire nation like this stuff. He says, this is not the Seder HaRoy of a king of this world. It's completely without seichel. That's why one opinion says that Achashverosh Melech Tipesh Haya. What's the tipshus? You think when it says that he was a Melech Tipesh, Achashverosh Melech Tipesh, like he didn't do as well in his SATs as somebody nowadays? What does it mean Melech Tipesh? So because, you know, we used to, because as kids they make all this, they make him look like a dope in all the drawings, right? In the coloring books, the same way that Shushan looks like Bedford Avenue, right? So in those I'm sure you remember those coloring books. So and in Shushan they all wear Strimelach, all the Yidden, Mordechai wore Strimel, right? So I remember the one for Hanukkah, the coloring book for Hanukkah. My kids, when my little one, when she was in Williamsburg in school, so the coloring book for Hanukkah had the Misyavnim, the Hellenists. They were playing basketball with little yarmulkes that said Yeshiva College on it. And they were the Misyavnim in the coloring book. And that's it. They had the tzitzis out, and they're taking shots, and the little yidden, the chashmonaim, are going like with langa pais, you know, and the Misyavnim are wearing the yarmulkes that say Yeshiva College shooting basketball.
They said they wanted to write university.
They probably thought they were writing that. I mean, it was yeah, that's the thought. So he says, so this is a shinoi. It's on seichel. It's not because there haven't been enemies of our people who sought to destroy us. It's because the way that Achashverosh did it was lunacy. It was lunacy. Not only was it lunacy, it was self-destructive. It was self-destructive, as we see in the Megillah begins to develop, it dawns upon him. Isn't it beautiful pshat? The Megillah begins by stripping him of his at the very beginning. The rest of the time, Hamelech ahin and here, because that's in the dialogue, and he's Hamelech that's telling the story. But the Megillah begins from the Baruch Shalom's perspective. It's vayhi b'me'achashverosh. He's Hamelech. This heist Hamelech. It's Hamelech. Claimer, Ma'aseh Megillah Shahayah Kol Yoytzei Misad HaRoi, because the whole Ma'aseh Megillah, that's the Maral Shita in the whole Megillah, that the whole Megillah, if you look at it, the whole Megillah says there's like such crazy extremes, the descriptions of the Malchus and the eating and the furnishings of the Malchus and the draperies and the carpets, it's all not min ha-seder ha-roi v'hanochen, it's all extreme and odd. Kol Yoytzei Misad HaRoi. He himself was not from the Seder. Therefore you can't call him Melech. Since Melech, we understand now, Malchus means Seder. That's the job of the Melech. It means to establish Seder. And Malchus, everything he's saying here, by the way, is all Kabbalah. Every word here is Sisrei Torah, because he's talking about the Midas HaMalchus. And that's what the Midas HaMalchus does. The Midas HaMalchus, the job of the Midas HaMalchus, in the configuration of the spheres, the job of Malchus is to make Seder out of all the Kaychas that have descended into that final stage, which is called Malchus. And that is the job of the Malchus. Tibbe Mesader the Am, El HaSeder HaRoi. Shabbat Me Yetzim HaSeder HaRoi, V'Lashach LaHaske Melech. Therefore, you can't call him Melech in the Megillah, in the beginning. Asha HaMelech LaSeder. Asha HaMelech LaSeder. Right, on top. After footnote 29 on top. Kach HaShemesh Hu HaMoish LaOlam HaZeh UKedechsiv Es HaShemesh LaMemshelas BaYoyim. That is the meaning. Es HaShemesh LaMemshelas BaYoyim. That the Shemesh is the Memshola of the day. That is the job of the sun, that everything should proceed according to its plan. Everything should stand in its place, should do what it has to. That is one chalik, the sun. A chalik hasheni, the second chalik, and that corresponds to the negative commands to Mitzvah Leisa, which you're going to talk about a little bit in a minute. A chalik hasheni, who are Adam Bilvad. Now remember, the positive commandments, the Ramach, mitzvah saseh correspond to the ramach evam, to the 248 limbs of the person, right? The ramach evam. So he says, hachelik hasheni hu ha'odim bilvad, shulchelik sheni neged kol ha'mitzias. He is the second component of mitzias. Man stands alone. In other words, what we have is the Shemesh, which means this world, on one side of all of creation, the sun and all that's under its memshala, its rule, its domain, right? And then you have the Adam, the human being. The human being is not meshubed at all to that Seder. It's bechlal, he's a different bria. Everything was created for man's sake. Therefore, you cannot count together. You cannot group together who? You can't group together the Eved, meaning all other aspects of creation, im Adonav, with the human being who is the Odon, who is the master of this world. You can't put them in one grouping. Therefore, man is there's the sun and all that means of this world, and then there's the human being. Footnote 33. Adam Arishan Hatayna, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, Ani v'chamayu inoichal beivus echad. After the klolim, the Rabbanu Shalom told him to leave Gan Eden, b'zeyas hapechat hachalechem, and so on. So Adam Arishan said, I'm going to eat from the same feeding bag as my behemah. V'chein amru klum yesh evit shenayisen shalom l'rabbi. Does an Eved go and give shalom to his master like a regular friend? In other words, you cannot ani v'chamoy v'noichal beivus echad. A human being doesn't belong in the same eating out of the same feeding bag as a behemoth. Why? The meaning of that is that a human being is a distinct aspect of reality. It's not that he's better than a behemoth or that he's different than a behemoth. The entire Shemoneh Prakim of the Rambam is based upon this concept. That a human being is unique. Even though a human being shares many activities with an animal, in terms of eating and drinking and reproducing and so on, and motion, nevertheless, every single aspect of man's behavior must be Adamdik. There's something uniquely Adamdik about a human being. Therefore, that statement of Adam Arishan, Ani v'chamayi noichal beivus echad, I should eat with my donkey from the same feeding bag. This concept that the relationship between all of creation, all of reality, with man is like the relationship between compared to the yachas to that relationship between an eved, a servant, a slave, and his master. Says this all over in his writings. Therefore, Adam, the human being, is the only one who walks upright, who walks up tall, straight. Ukalashan b'derechayim, b'riyaso shel Adam b'skif of loy k'may shah b'alechayim holchei shechuach. That the human being was created to be a creature that can walk upright, not like all the animals that are bent over. K'misha holchei shechuach, hu moira al sheyeshel of Adam. The one who was walking bent over indicates that there's somebody who's over him. That's why. It's a sign of what? When the fact that all animals walk facing the earth with their heads down, it's a symbol of submission to the Odin, to the master. That's why all behemoths go in such a way. Like the way that the Eved walks. How's the Eved walk? He's always bowing his head. He's always bowing down. He's yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. He's always bowing down. He walks like that's. He's his whole hanhagi is to face the earth. The Hainu mitzad shahelech adam beskifa v'chol balei chayim holchem shchuach v'nei shehem tachas adam. Because all of creation is under man's control. So we have these two vying koiches in the world, so it seems. We have the sun, that on the one hand was placed in charge of physical reality, and the world on some level recognizes the memshala, the sovereignty of the sun, and that could lead even to sun worship. On the other hand, creation itself, we see, bows down to man. All of creation is bowing down in the presence of the Adam, who alone has a kaimus kufa, stands up tall. The tachzam shuhu melech alakok, because the human being is the melech, and therefore all of creation are his subjects. Therefore, all animals and so on, they're bent over, they're facing the earth, and man alone, who is the melech, who is above this world, in this world, he walks straight.
Why is it asulelech kaimus kufa?
Because there is klape shmaya, there is such a thing where a person's kaima is a reflection of gaiva, not just a reflection of his natural and healthy seder. When his nose is held up a little bit too high, kaima skufa doesn't mean that one can't walk in a normal way. It means too self confident, too aware of oneself. That's why man walks straight, because he is the king. All creatures in this world walk bent over. They face the ground. Only man stands upward. Because he is king over all that exists. If a melech roishi a harlech beskifin, it befits a king to walk in such a way. Ubesachtonim ein al ha'adam. There is nothing that's over man, that has control over man in this lower world. Ulefika kol balechaim halchim kifufim. K'mayevich shu kofif b'bnei ha'melech, like a slave, like the servant who is bent over in the presence of the king. V'adam b'levadu amid beskifa. So there's a common concept that's discussed throughout the writings of the Maral.
Had a bird's foot in.
He's talking about those brias that are of the arets, of the earth. Bechlal, how do we view the oifa shamayim? Are they superior in any level to the behemoths of this world? In the Maral writings, we do see that there is a superiority. By virtue of the fact that they're flying above the world, and not as meshubit even physically to this world, indicates that there's something more refined over there. That there's something that's more refined. He talks about it. You would think that it's flying above men, right? Nevertheless, man is not kofuf tachas the oifas shamayim. He's not kofuf. He's not bent to the birds. But still, you're right, it's a good question. Okay, back upstairs. Okay, two lines after 33. V'hu gam kein nechlok min chelek ha-metziyas ha-rishon asher lo yishanu sidrom asher nivra olav aval lo yiknu gam kein dvar maila noisef al atzmam v'akein nish'arim b'havyosam k'moish ha-nivru k'moish nizbor. All of creation, all the other nimtzoyim. So we learn that on the one hand, they are all completely faithful and loyal to the way that they were created. Lo yishanu tafkidam. They don't ever stop doing what they're supposed to be doing. On the other hand, he says, they're not able to acquire anything above their existence. An animal, all the other nivroim, are subjects to man. Only man can acquire something that raises him above himself. But the animals can never acquire any maila, anything noisef al atzmam, in addition to themselves. Nisharim b'havyosan, they remain in the way that they were created, k'mayish nivru. K'mayish nizbar pekim, as we learn. V'ha'odam hazeh, and this human being, shu'a chelik hasheini, who is different from all of creation, who walks upright, who is the king over the lower world. Efshar sheyetzim and haseda haroi. He alone has the ability to leave the Seder, to check out of the Seder. He could check out of the Seder. He could say, I like stealing, it's easier than going to work. He could say, I don't want to put on tefillin, I don't want to keep Shabbos. He has the ability to go away from the Seder. On the other hand, and that's the danger that man is in. But the flip side of that is, I will ha'adam hu kaina ma'ila yoysim ma'ashahayilai. That a human being alone has the bechir, has the ability to reach something beyond the way that he's created, beyond, to rise above all of the limitations of his background, of his education, or whatever. He can rise above all the limitations. A man can do this. The other side of that is that there's no one that could fall into such schmutz, into such dirt, because there's no one that could leave the Seder. Because the Shemesh cannot ultimately determine the life of a human being, because a human being, sof kol sof, is lamala min haShemesh. He's lamala min haShemesh. In terms of who he is, he is above the sun. He's lamala min haShemesh. Now, you know, I spoke about this many times in shul, modern day manifestations of what was known in many years ago as a determinism, not believing in Bechir, not to believe in Bechir. And I must say that just recently there was a young man that came to talk to me, and he's been involved in a certain type of an aveira for quite a while, and he spent some time in Eretz Yisrael, and then for 3 months he didn't get involved in that aveira. And then he came crying, because the other day it happened again, the mice. There was a terrible mice. So I asked him, what are you so upset about? You have these things, this is going on for a long time. But you know, what are you crying? You're getting so worked up. So tomorrow you won't care. I mean, this is not anything to get so upset about by your standards. So he said to me, what he's upset about most is that it finally dawned upon him that he has no free choice. He thought that he had free choice. But now he's reached the conclusion that this is something that for some reason God is forcing upon him. Now he came to this maskan, that he's no longer Baal Bechira. He's no longer Baal Bechira. So I said to him, you know, you're a shaita, because davka now you should come to the conclusion that you are Baal Bechira. Davka now, by your own estimation, you've hit rock bottom, because of a certain prat that was in that mice, I don't want to go into it, it's not for now. But you've hit rock bottom. So, fakir, you think that you're not a Baal Bechira. You think that you're not a Baal Bechira. Only man, this is what the Maharal is saying here, only man who has the ability to descend to the lowest place, to completely go away from the Seder HaRoi, which none of the other animals can do, but all the other creatures in the world are doomed to mediocrity. They're doomed to nothing. They're doomed to that Seder, which it's very lovely, but it can't get too bad, it can't get too good. Only a human being who could descend to the lowest place has the ability to rise to a much higher place, to become much greater than to go above the Seder. Man can fall below the Seder, but he could rise above the Seder. He could rise above the Seder.
Isn't it written that during the times of Noah that the animals also, like, went out of this Seder, and that's why certain animals paid as much?
Yeah, the Maharal talks a lot about that. The Maharal talks a lot about that. There is such a thing, because why? What was happening there? You made a good point. The whole world went wacky. I mean, there was an upheaval, and the whole world, this world was submerged in water. The world was the entire all of physical reality went crazy. So it seemed like the sun was on vacation. Nice, it was. That's one of the things that was also wacky, but the sun was on vacation. In other words, it's like the king abducted the throne. He left. He's gone.
Abdicated.
I'm sorry. The king abdicated the throne. He left. He checked out. The king is gone. No, mimela, the result is, the king is gone. So everything is there's no Seder. So the behemoths, metalis, everything was doing crazy. The whole world was acting up, because there's no king. There's no king. So that's, but you're making a good point, and that's why all of Mitzias, that's all those descriptions of Chazal, of what was going, that everything was during the time of the Mabul, that everything went totally out of whack, because it seemed that there was no Melech.
That also, I mean, tying into something he said about the birds, I mean, they were obviously birds, because that's what Noah was found. There was a dove.
Yes, that's interesting. So that was the Haskal, that was the beginning of the restoration of Seder. Seder's beginning its way back. That's a good point. Seder's finding its way back. Yeah. Lamotzah ha'ayayna manoach, not finding manoach, is that time when the kingdom is falling to pieces. And Shabbos is the meaning of yayna motzah ba'manoach, right? That's the meaning of everything coming back to its Seder. Shabbos is a return to Seder. Shabbos is the return to Seder. The 6 days of the week is that the Seder is out of whack. And Shabbos means returning to Seder. And from there comes, as I spoke about in the Shia last week, from there comes the Menucha of Shabbos. The restfulness of Shabbos, the Seder of Shabbos comes from that it's after something was lost and then it's restored there to that original Seder.
So why is it that even within mankind, and presumably the animals are all the same, every ant doesn't steal, they have the same
capacity,
right? So how come within man everyone's different? Some people have a more calm, some people are more excitable, some people have a more of a desire to steal, some have
Seder. And I mean, a Jew has to connect to the Seder HaElokei, which is the Mitzvah HaSeder, the Mitzvah HaSeder, and so on. But man has the ability. And was a human being created to steal? The answer is no. He wasn't created to steal, as opposed to this human being who's created to be honest. Without going, I don't know if we're going to get this whole Indian, it's a very big Indian, but man was not created with that, with a predisposition, with an inclination towards theft. So there's a koyach, there is an emptiness, there is a meshicha to things, there is something that is drawing, there is something that is pulling towards the other side, but that it should be clearly defined in such a way that he was created to steal, or this one was created to be a Baal Lashon Hara, or this one was created to be Ovan Shatnez, a Kalayim. There's no such thing.
So when Kodesh Baruch Hu could have created that everyone has the same challenges, why? Presumably,
the Baruch Hu didn't want that because the Baruch Hu wanted that there should be that diversity for many, many reasons. That there should be diversity. That there should be this, because why? Because there are different tikkunim that are required in the world, and therefore different human beings that have different koyches and different counter koyches. It's because those human beings are needed. Like in the Malchus, in every Malchus you need this minister, you need that minister, you need this member of the cabinet. This is what this is what everybody in America is worried about now, right? That you need to have different chalakim in the Malchus, and each one, ein Malchus negas b'charvata kimelay nima, that each aspect of the Malchus must fulfill its particular purpose. That's why I mentioned Yom Nerayim time, the Maaser from Reb Chaim Brisker, from the Beis Halevi, there was a wealthy Jew in Brisk who on Yom Kippur night after davening, he stayed in the shul. He stood there by the Omid, saying Kippelech Tehillim and so on. And the Beis Halevi went over to him and asked him, What would you say if a soldier rebelled against the? If he left the army, he ran away from the army. So he says Chayv Mitzvah. So the rich guy says, "Say he's Chayv Mitzvah. He's got to be killed." What if he didn't leave the whole army, but he left his division? He deserted his chalik and he went to a different. So the rich guy says, "He's chayv misa. You have to be killed." So the Beis Halevi says, "So you're chayv misa." Beis Halevi told him, "So what?" He said, "You know, the Baruch Shalom gave you a bracha that you're a big gevir. Your problem is that you think that your thing is to stand by the Omid saying Tehillim for a couple of hours. But when someone comes to ask you for money, you don't want to give them money, right? That you hold on. He was cheap." You hold on to all your money. So in other words, what we're supposed to have, the Beis Halevi said here in Brisk, is everything should be fakir. In other words, all the gvirim are standing and davening all night, and all the ones that are supposed to be telling mechachom and you know, like this with the tilmzugas, right? They're supposed to be supporting the town. It's all of an hapichu. The Beis Halevi wasn't against this guy saying tilm. God forbid. But what the Beis Halevi was saying is that you failed to acknowledge by this time in your life, we don't always know when this is clear, you're still not acknowledging that you have a certain tachlis. I would be happy, the Beis Halevi says, you would say to him, if you would be fulfilling your... you were appointed to be in charge of something, which is to be a mefarnes, the poor people of Brisk. That's why you're that rich. So you were appointed. Now that responsibility, you're neglecting. That you don't want to do. And what do you want to do? You want to be like the Rabbonim or the Batlonim, right? That are sitting in Beis Medrash all day. You're not in your Seder. Of course, it takes a great person to say such a thing. You need a great person to say that your role in creation is this or that. Nowadays, it's not a popular position to take. Nowadays, it's everybody has the exact same thing, and everybody's supposed to do the same thing. And if you're not in that, exact same thing, so then you're yotzim and haseda haroi, which is not true. That's what you see by the shvatim. Each kibbechosa. That each one of the shvatim, each one of the sons of Yaakov, got a different bracha, and that was his chelik in the bria, and that's where he had to make a tikkun. That's what he had to struggle with, and that's what he had to perfect. If Zvulun would be alive nowadays and he'd be in Eretz Yisrael, they'd say he's a low yutzluch. His family's embarrassed. He had to go to work. He's not learning anymore. What's the matter with him, right? So that's his chelik in the bria, and to come to terms with that, and not as an excuse, but to come to terms with one's tachlis. With one's role in the Rosh Hashanah's orchestra, to come to terms with that is a very difficult thing.
How do we do that today? We don't have someone like a Beis Halevi to tell us. We don't have Nevi'im. We don't have.
It's a big mess. It's a huge mess.
Let's say you don't like your role.
It's a big mess. You don't like your role. You know, a person with tefillah, and with crying. A person can change, like the Rav Dessler speaks about the mazel elyon and the mazel tachton. There's a higher level of mazel, and there's a lower level of mazel, which means, as the Gemara talks about in Shabbos and Tosfos, that it could be, let's say, that what you were created for was, let's say, to spread Torah, and you begin your career, you're a first grade rabbi. And you can't take it, you're going crazy, you can't deal with the kids anymore, you're losing your patience, v'chulu v'chulu. And you dive into the Baruch Shalom, you can't, and also what kind of, you don't have a parnasa, and your children, your wife, you can't manage. So it's possible, that's called your lower mazel, it's possible to break through, and with davening, and with schusim, and so on, and that this very same guy might end up going into a business and becoming a gevir, and he opens up a couple of yeshivas. Supports yeshivas. He has Talmid Chacham that he's taking care of. So it came out that in terms of the higher mazel, which was what? That it was determined that he was going to be a person who was going to spread Torah. That's almost impossible to break. But as far as the lower mazel, the means by which you were going to carry that out, if you're miserable in one job, if you're miserable in that, that doesn't mean that you're stuck in that. So let's say, you're a dentist, and you've come to the conclusion, you know, if you look in one more mouth, you're going to kill yourself. Right? some people might have that feeling. There's a friend of mine he's a dentist, and he decided he couldn't take it anymore. Now he went at night to law school. I don't know how happy he is. Yeah. Because until now he was just looking into people's mouths. Yeah. Now he's going to be swallowing people. So. Taking it. So
there's some lawyers in the room.
So that, yeah, it's all right. So that a person can be mishana. A person can be mishana. But to break through the higher mazel, I don't want to spread. I don't want the stamma yini to spread Torah. That's a very, very hard thing to break through.
You say I want to give tzedakah to the poor versus spreading Torah. That's what I'm.
There are going to be difficulties and obstacles and so on. Not that you cannot also do that, but if primarily your thing was Torah, then you're going to have to. Then there are going to be all kinds of kalim that Hashem's going to throw in your way, all types of things to bring you back to supporting the yeshivas or supporting Talmid Chacham. No, don't ask about it. Don't ask about it. I knew you were going to ask that.
The Rabban said that that everybody has a different level that they that is their potential. Is there a minimum for that? Does every Jew have a minimum potential that they should
to be Shomer Torah mitzvahs? That the Svar Makadosh say. No Jew could say that I'm not capable of being Shomer Torah mitzvahs. No Jew can say that. No Jew can say that I'm not part of the kingdom, because that defies the purpose of his being here. Can't be. What is chelik? What's his avaida? How much? And so on and so forth. Okay, but as far as saying that I'm not on the plan, a Jew can't do that. And then he is surprised after 120 years, and he says, you know, I signed out a long time ago. and the Baruch Shalom says, you know, you chayv on this, you chayv on that. He said, what do you mean? I'm chayv nothing. I didn't hold from it anymore. Mr. Baruch Shalom was like, you didn't hold from it. you're all the years you were on that plan. You can't sign up with another plan, right? That's it. That's the minimum amount. From there and on, who knows?
So just one more thing. How do you tell in the story with the gevir and the basically it was in retrospect, because you see that he's a gevir, but how do you tell in advance? Like, how do you?
You have to be a big person. I don't know. The Nevi'im used to do that. You know? The Vilna Gaon writes in his Perush HaMishlei. The Gro writes in his Perush HaMishlei that they used to go to the Navi, and the Navi would tell each and every Jew who would come to him the Shorish, the root of his neshama, what he has to fix in this world. Everyone will go to the Navi, and the Navi will look at you and tell you this is what you have to do. Can you imagine? So now what? So we already know that. So now where are we holding? How does a person know this? So, like Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explained in the Mishnah, so where it says Ayin Raya, right? Oizen Shamas, Chol Masecha B'Seif Nechtavim, that a person has to remember, Estakel B'Shalish B'Meilu, and look at these three things, and you won't sin. There's a seeing eye. There's an eye that watches. There's an ear that is listening, and a Kol Masecha, and all of your actions B'Seif Nechtavim are written. So the Rabbi Chaim Volozhin explained that it used to be in the beginning there was an Ayin Roy. That means that there were Nevi'im, there were prophets who saw. We don't have that anymore. So after that, at least there was an Oizen Shamas, there was a Baskol. That people had heard, people were able to hear certain koilas, certain sounds from above. Now we don't have not Nevuah, now we don't have Baskol. So what do we have? So it says, Kol Masecha B'Seif Nechtavim. There's only one way to know who you are in this world and what you should do, and that's the more you learn, the more it becomes revealed to you. The more you learn, the more it becomes revealed to you what's the Shorish of your neshama. Even though the Svar Makadosh gives certain hints as to what might, how you could detect, you know, where you're supposed to go. That's a very big subject. But it's only V'chol Masecha B'Seif Nechtavim. That's the only way to know. That's it. There's no shortcuts. But this is man. Man has the unique ability to descend beneath the Seder, to go out of the Seder, because he was given the unique kaichus to transcend, to go to that place which is lamalam in Hashemesh, not to be stuck in the Shemesh. Ukamoisha Hashemesh, on the left hand column, Ayin Gimel. Ukamoisha Hashemesh hu melech, gam ken adam hu melech. So, just like the sun is king over the physical world, gam ken adam hu melech, shakal nosen takhtah. The malchus of man is different. See, the malchus of the sun is to maintain order, to keep everything in its order, in its place. But the malchus of the human being, of the Adam, is that he has the ability to uplift and to change, to transform all that exists in this world. Not just to maintain the Seder, but to uplift the Seder. As the Ramchal talks about it in Mishnah Sharm at the beginning, Kakol nivra lavat ha'adam l'shamsho, therefore all was created to serve man. U'bezehu tzura al kol ha'tachtayinim, and therefore man is the tzura, he is the inner essence. He is the inner point, the essence, the purpose of all of existence. And therefore, man has the ability to give meaning to all that exists. So when Jews sit and learn on a table, they give that table its meaning and its definition, and so on with everything that exists. Man has that unique ability to do that. Just like a king. The king is able to be mashlim, that he's able to join everything together. He's able to bring into one clear reality. That's the job of a king. The job of the king is that everything, whatever might be wrong in the malchus, it's his responsibility. If there are problems with the roads, if there are problems with if there are health issues in the kingdom, whatever those problems are, there's questions of the question of the military. The job of the king is to be masada all of these things and to take care and to be mashlim all that the nation, that the people need within the context of that malchus. That's what it means that man is the tzura. He's the Adam. V'ha'adam heifach ha'nimtzoyim. And he says that Adam is the opposite of all the nimtzoyim. Shekol ha'nimtzoyim tachas Hashem ish enim k'ayna ma'ila ma'ash nivru. Everything else that exists in this world cannot acquire anything above that nature with which it was created. Aval lo yetzu gam kein miseder roi. But the advantage of that is they behave. Everything follows its seder, but it can never get above the seder, can't fall below the seder, it remains beseder. Man alone can achieve a level, can be koine, can acquire milus above his nature. But the flip side of that is, because he has the ability to do that, he also has the distinct ability to become amish a behemah, to become much lower than any animal, to become worse than a behemah. Behemoths are not, for the most part, behemoths are not destructive. In this world, there's been human beings who have been destructive, not behemoths. A behemoth, once in a while, he'll eat somebody or something. But b'derech klal, behemoths remain in a certain seder. But human beings, you can't keep in a seder. To keep human beings, that they should be beseder, that's a much greater challenge.
So what's meant that is closed? Is Torah about that, or is that as well, or...?
Is Torah? Torah takes men above. There's like this. There's a human being, that's status quo. That's a human being without Torah. That's a non-Jew, and he has a certain seder, which is the seven mitzvahs that we learn.
Not Russia.
Right. Not right. But the seven mitzvahs, because a human being, even a guy, has a koyach of bechira, and therefore he has his seven mitzvahs. But the seven mitzvahs are on the seder of Teva, right? The 7 days of the week. It's that seder of a ben Noach. But we'll see that with a Jew. A Jew alone has the ability to transcend his seder. In other words, on some level, goyim are also part of the rest of the bria.
And it sounds like that if you are status quo, it's good enough.
No, we're going to talk about that. No, it's not. It's not because we've been learning, not just we've been learning before, that the whole tachlis of men is to be mitzis koyches el apoil. And therefore, you remember last parak that a human being is not allowed to say that everything is fine. I have all that I need. This is how the Baruch Shalom made me, and I'm beseder. He's not allowed to. And we're going to talk about that much more. He has to be Maitzi El Apal. That's why we have the Ramach HaSeh. If it was just Shasah, you're right. If it was just 365 negative commandments, then I'm beseder. I'm following the Seder. I don't do these things that mess up my Seder. But the fact that the Baruch Shalom gave Yidden Ramach HaSeh, 248 positive commandments, means that's how a Kohen is Shleimus. And you can't say that. I don't want to put on film. I don't want to be Isaac and Talmud Torah. I don't want to be Goyim HaChasadim. These are all essays. I don't want to do any of these things because that's the Kinyan of Shleimus, but the Goyim don't have that. They have seven Kinyanim, but their seven Kinyanim are all Al Derech Lois essay. Because the Iker of a Goy is what? Is to be Beseder. And in that Seder, on his level, he can be great. He can be great. Certainly in a world that's immoral, for a person to be moral and to keep the seven mitzvahs of Gavaldi. And he has a Chelik and Al Habdi, Rambam writes. But a Jew has the Kinyan of Shleimus with the 248 mitzvahs essay, which we're going to talk about in Mitzvah Shem. We're going to get into much, much more. Next week we're going to talk about the Leis essays, on Zayis Chanukah, the Leis essays. He goes directly into the Leis essays and the Mitzvah Shem to start the work towards the completion of the Perek Shkayach.